Attention contractors, on October 8th, I'm going to be hosting a live roundtable on one cash flow killer that nobody ever really talks about. Poor communication. Because every time your crew slips up, or a client email gets buried, or a change order goes MIA, your profits disappear down the drain. And at this specific time of year, the problem can be somewhat fatal. Tight cash flows, worn out crews, demanding clients, you get it, the list goes on. The solution for sophisticated contractors is to stop blaming crews and clients and lean into the one simple communication system that changes everything. On October 8th, I'm going to be bringing together CompanyCam CEO Luke Hansen and two of our highest performing contractors who have mastered communications at all levels. Together, we're going to show you how to reduce some chaos, increase trust, and protect your margins, all without adding more work to your plate. So register in the link in the description before space runs out, and I'll see you there. Hey everyone, welcome back to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy. The modern buyer doesn't want to wait. They expect instant answers, real-time communication, and a seamless experience from first click all the way to final payment. But most trades businesses, they struggle to make this a reality for their customer. So today, I'm joined by James Hartfield, CRO of LiveSwitch, to unpack a faster, much smarter way to sell without losing the human connection either. We're going to cover how expectations have really shifted over the years, and where contractors, they're starting to fall short, and how we can blend speed with authenticity at every single step of the sales journey. If you want to win the race to the face and elevate your customer experience, this one's for you. So let's dive in with James. You're listening to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy, where we systemize contracting businesses for growth. Keep listening to learn how the world's top contractors scale their companies, build killer teams, and make more while working less. Mr. James, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
We got all things, the modern approach of streamlining workflow and customer experience and just thinking through the customer journey today from the lens of using new technology. So I'm stoked to get into this with you. You are the CRO of LiveSwitch. Sounds like you and your business partner purchased LiveSwitch at some point, or to purchase the technology anyways.
We purchased the company 5 years ago.
So you could have picked a lot of things at that point. I mean, walk us through how you even came to this decision, but why are you doing this and what problem are you trying to solve?
Okay, well, first of all, it's more of a personal pride thing if I'm just being radically open here.
Sure.
So we built a company from nothing to Inc. 500 to a multi-billion dollar company. Then we went into nonprofits and we're like, let's see if we can do this again. So we wanted to find something that was owner-led, founded, that needed our help where we could bring our expertise from our last company and scale the next billion-dollar company. So that is our ambition and goal. It's for, more than anything, it's for a little bit of pride. If I'm just sliding it right across the table and telling you straight.
Well, let's get, and tell us, what is LiveSwitch? And you could have picked so many different things, including outside of technology. Why did you choose this one?
We got really enamored with technology with the last company because we did financial technology. And so we knew we wanted to be in technology. We're also, my partner owned a landscaping company and I owned a painting and power washing company. So I know what it's like to live on a ladder. So we were like, we like selling usernames and passwords. So we were like, we need to find a place where we can sell usernames and passwords, get a SaaS model going and scale it. But it did loop us all the way back to our roots in home services. So it was kind of a blessing in disguise. We didn't set out to get back to home services, but that's where we landed.
Okay. Now, what have you guys taken this thing to? Now, give me an idea. What problem is it solving in the industry? And what is LiveSwitch doing for your clients at this point?
Yeah, we're leveraging the four or five cameras you have in your pocket and your customer has in their pocket. We want to race to the face, is what we call it, speed to lead, but using live video to connect with your prospect or your team or a follow-up as fast as you can so you can see what they see. We want to use eyes on our projects, not just our ears. We've been using cell phones for years. Now let's use the cameras on the cell phones.
And what is this doing for your people? How is this changing the face of sales even, let's say?
Yeah, well, now you're able to take your best-selling, your people who sell the best, or even as you as an owner, and put that as the first interaction that your customer has, because now you're not spending so much time behind the windshield. You can have that first interaction amongst the entire customer buying experience with the person that sells the best, gives the best customer service, or follows up, and they can see what they see. So we're allowing that to happen very quickly.
And I've seen these technologies before, and you can even just use Zoom, really, if you wanted to set up a meeting with your customer through Zoom. We did through COVID. How is this different?
We don't do apps, nothing for the customer to download. It's also tuned up for third-party assistance. Things like FaceTime, things like Zoom are not tuned up for third-party assistance. They're tuned up for a conference call or to have a loved one, see another loved one, but not for a professional to look at a job. It was never tuned up that way.
Okay. So the reason I wanted to bring you on here is I think during COVID, we all went super digital, right? And we took some time to be able to perfect that experience. Post-COVID, I feel like the human element is becoming quite a deal. It's a big deal to not have it in a business process or in a sales process. So how are you marrying in the best of technology, what you call race to face, but also not taking away that personal element when it comes to actually making a buying decision from a relationship you've built with somebody?
Yeah, I think because we've, one, lived our life on a ladder, two, we are technologists, and three, we really love customer buying experience. In fact, the last organization I was a part of, I named the team the customer buying experience. Like going through the lens, I love secret shopping businesses. I even do it when I'm on stage flying around. I will secret shop. And we want to have the balance of where AI, because that's the key buzzword, right, nowadays, is doing what it does best, but allowing the human connection and human face and presence of a person to do what it does best. As an example, I'll go into these conferences and I'll say, raise your hand if your AI agent is your number one salesperson. Nobody in home services ever raises their hand. It never happens. And I don't suspect it will.
And so what, like, give me an example of what this looks like. Well done. Give me some examples of this looking not, I know you actually told me a story when you're in Orlando, you called somebody's customer and it was AI driven, but it wasn't a good experience. Like, tell me about this. Like, how do you overdo this? How do you overbake this?
Yeah, I think it's all from a business owner standpoint. We're trying to find things that are affordable, that aren't always human driven, but still will meet the need because we focus on that bottom line and our expenses. Sometimes we get a little too frugal though, and we forget to like interact with what we think is going to be efficient, because what you might be doing inherently is losing all that hard work that you're doing on the marketing side, the referral side. You're working your tail off and spending tons of money to get these leads in the door just to hand it off to an agentic AI and lose it. Because, or sadly enough, they don't even pick up the phone. I was in Orlando speaking and I was doing my secret shopping thing and I was calling home service businesses. And I Googled, right? Yeah, I Googled, in this case, power washers near me in Orlando. I happened to be in Orlando, Florida at the time. And I took the one that had 766 five-star reviews, the most 5 stars on Google. I called it. It rang 9 times and went to voicemail. They didn't even bother picking the phone up. The second one I called, and again, I had the persona. I told them on stage, I'm going to be someone who has a new house. I'm going to have a house party tomorrow. And I'm willing to spend all the money to get my house power washed for the pool party, right? So when I called the second one with 566 five-star reviews, ring, 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 and AI agent picked up and said, hey, welcome to so-and-so's power washing. I said, hey, I'm ready to buy. I've got a lot of money. I've got a big house. I'm ready to buy right now. It said, hey, happy to hear that. Before I transfer you to an agent, let me answer a few more questions. I said, hey, look, I don't want to answer a few more questions. I have money and a lot of it, and I want someone now. Hey, I'm happy to hear. I got in this AI, route cycle, and it killed it for me, hung up there.
So this is good. So you're talking about there's the one cut, and this is just good examples, but like one person's like, they don't have anything hooked up and they miss the call because they're busy or they're whatever, the Salesforce is busy. The other one, they've got it hooked up and they're probably in their hands being like, look at what we did. We fixed the problem, but it still didn't fix the issue because you as a customer weren't engaged enough and you felt like you're just being circled around. You couldn't get a resolution. And so you exited the call in that sense too. So what is the right process here? Like, what is the right sales flow in 2025 with the types of customers, the type of buying experience people expect? What are we trying to craft?
When somebody calls you or reaches out for the quote, you are on the clock, which is what we call race to the face. The fastest you can get a salesperson to interact with that person, whether it's virtually or on property, is the way you're going to win the business. Because nowadays, and you've probably had it happen to you, if you're in been home services long enough, somebody calls, you actually pick the phone up and you schedule time. Yep, I'll be out in 2 days, right? You get them on the calendar and then you call the morning of, hey, I'm on my way out. And they say, hey, don't bother. We already found somebody.
Right.
If this has happened to you, you have experienced race to the face and you have lost because of speed. Welcome to the age of Amazon, where 2 days isn't enough anymore. I want my stuff overnight.
Hey guys, quick question before we continue the episode. If you could get a custom roadmap for growing your business in 5 minutes, would it be worth your time? After tracking the growth of over 1,600 contracting businesses since 2015, we've put together a 5-minute quiz you can go take right now that draws on a massive pool of data. You'll get instant access to a personalized report that's going to tell you which one of the four phases of contractor growth you're actually in right now. How your company stacks up in the 6 core areas of business compared with industry benchmarks. And what to go do next, including customized resources, tools, and templates you'll have access to right away. No waiting around for an email or filling out a million separate forms. The link is in the description, so go check it out. Now, back to the episode. So let's talk about this even for a second before we get into this too much, but what is changing? You said since 2022, the customer experience, I fully agree with you, but like, what is changing? What are their expectations? And yeah, what's causing all this?
Yeah, I think historical expectations, we were okay as consumers waiting a few days for someone to come, wait at our home for you to come by, tour around our house, you know, give us your bid. Maybe I even followed up with two other people. It's kind of an old way of selling. Now, is that going to fully go away? No, you're still going to have a percentage of customers that will have to get 3 bids, have you come on property, will want to pit each business against one another until they get the best price because they felt like that's how they were trained to do it for the last 30 years. The modern buyer will now not only go on Google, they'll go on things like ChatGPT and they'll be highly educated, right? They'll have, and now in the age of transparency, where if you're great, you get risen up organically. And Google has changed their LLMs and algorithms to look for authentic photos, videos, comments. They're trying to actually surface the best home service company near you because that's how they have a higher quality product. So now you're getting these highly educated buyers that demand speed because, again, Amazon has now conditioned the new modern buyer towards that. And they could care less if they go down the list. You know, your best bet is if you have a referral, great, but you're still, people just want it done. They want it done now. And I don't want to wait to have my leaky pipe fixed. I don't really want to wait when I've got money set aside from insurance such that I could get a new roof. You know, I don't have any patience anymore.
And so give me more detail on this. Am I going to somebody's website and clicking on a button and it's suddenly turning on the camera on my phone and then we're having a conversation, or are they scheduling a time for, like, what is the, like, step by step, what is the process that a customer goes through from, I don't know who I need, to calling up or buzzing up a plumbing company and then them talking to you live on video? How does that come to be?
Yep. The most progressive companies will have it to where when they go on the website and click a button, a live video of a live person pops up immediately with nothing to download right on your website. And it tunes it up that way. The companies that ushered that in were Apple and Sonos. If you're familiar with those companies, mm-hmm. They ushered that experience in. That doesn't mean for home services, that's where you need to start. But there's a lot of companies nowadays that do that. What normatively we see now for most contractors, home service companies, is that the customer is going to call you on the phone. You need to pick that up, or somebody in this world, even if you have folks sitting overseas in like South Africa or in the Philippines, pick the phone up. That's what we saw happen go wrong with that first,
sure,
you know, secret shopper. Right after that, what's going to happen is you're going to encourage the person. They're going to you're going to do discovery, right? That salesperson, what's the project? How much? Now what you'll do right there instead of scheduling that time is you'll say, hey, if you have a few more minutes, I can send you a text right now and you can tap it and show me what you need done. And this is going to do multiple things. One, you're going to be able to record it, that video, to pass it on to your team. And it's going to protect your backside as well. If pre-existing damage is there or what is being discussed with the salesperson. Okay. And we can look even at it training. So it's doing a lot of things. Two, it's establishing that face-to-face human connection. And from all the data that we have, thousands and thousands, I mean, this has been used tons of times. We have direct, you know, closed data, meaning it closed to cash, that going on site and virtually connecting with someone has the same close rate when it can be done, right? There's certain projects, certain renovations, certain builds, certain things that you still want to race to that face, because then also when you do schedule a time to come out on site, you've established even more credibility and less likelihood of them going down the list to the next person. You're pot committing them a bit more, so because of this interaction.
Probably for like smaller, more simple visual jobs, let's call it jobs between $500 and what, maybe $7,000, somewhere in that range, mid AJS to small AJS, you're able to do an estimate right on the spot, essentially. So you go from doing a setup call to turning that setup call right into an estimate live with that person. For more advanced projects, whatever, 10, 20, 30, 50 grand, you're at least doing a more advanced setup call, building that relationship quicker, and then you're scheduling your estimate like you normally would, but you have more of a connection, like you said.
That's exactly it. That's exactly right. I was literally on with a painting company last week with the estimator, and he's like, oh my goodness, like, I can't tell you how many times I've got these small jobs that are like, literally, I've got to paint some stucco, you know, for a 10 by 10 wall. And I got to try to fit it in my schedule. It's a 30-minute drive. And literally, I just need to swing by. It's going to take me all of 15 minutes to look at it and say, yep, this is how much it is. If I can just see it real quick on those jobs, I can do it. And we all have those in the business. Whether you're laying concrete, you're doing electrical work, whatever you're doing, you're able to take those small jobs and estimate those where it makes sense. Or B, you're able to connect and then decide, hey, I do actually want to drive out. There's also the third bucket of customers that have no business calling you, right? They're trying to get free consulting. How many times have you driven out just to give the guy like, yep, thanks for that. And then he gets a pizza box and a couple friends and they do it, right? You're going to be able to try to eliminate those, or even situations where, you know, this person is not in a financial situation, or even you're looking at the job and it doesn't even fit, you know, it's a non-fit. So anytime that can help. And then we're only talking about the sales process right now. We're not even talking about operations or follow-up, but this is just pure sales-driven talk that we've had so far.
You've alluded to this already, that the data shows that the sales ratio or the closing ratio is the same, I guess. What other kind of data do you have on this? Like, where is it beneficial? Where is it maybe not? Where are some things people need to learn how to do this properly? Otherwise, it slips a little bit. Like, give us some thoughts on what you've seen from the data.
Where it's not beneficial is if the person on your side answering the phone and video isn't prepared to do that type of interaction. You're going to have staff members that, I didn't sign up for this type of interaction, right? But here's the thing, if you elevate that to the right person doing it, you may even need to switch out to a different person doing it. It's just, once you start closing your first deals virtually, you get addicted to it, right? Just as a business, because the most expensive thing that a home service or contractor can do is put an hourly wage employee behind the wheel of one of your vehicles for putting gas in, the wear and tear on the vehicle, and driving out, just in the hopes that you close it. So even the pre-validation that it's worth driving out for is killer, as well as expanding your serviceable radius. There's certain jobs you would take at a certain price point. They just happen to be a little too far away for you to drive out and bid. But if you could bid them and save that 2-hour drive and win them, maybe you'll win less because you, for whatever reason, or maybe you'll win just as many, but now you're accepting jobs and getting contracts signed that you wouldn't have got previously because now you have that ability to win them outside of your serviceable radius. So it all kind of hand in hand.
While you're saying this, two things come to my mind. I think about all the contractors that don't have standardized estimating yet, or don't have a way to like digitize everything over the phone, send it without doing like an hour or two in the office to figure this stuff out. Where do you find that rub happens with the guys and girls that you're working with, the companies you're working with? How do you fix that? Is it up to you to fix? Do they have to come with their own solutions? How does this kind of go with the estimating and the actual like documentation to send a quote properly?
Yep. A crawl, walk, run, right? We like to start off with certain situations, especially for the more apprehensive, like, hey, if you can tell it's a small job, that's your click to go ahead and initiate the virtual estimate. Okay. And then get comfortable with that. Because as you can be trusted with some smaller things, you get trusted with larger things. You're just working it into the standard operating procedure, right? And it doesn't have to be complicated. I have mom and pops that do this stuff. This is not something just for the big boys and girls. In fact, I got guys that live in their trucks that do this from their truck, or do this from the actual job site. Because the smaller folks are like, hey, I don't actually have a call center. So I need to be able to estimate things across town while I'm on a job across town. So it even gets practical down to even that detail level where they'll just hop in their truck, do the bid, and then go right back out to the work they're doing. So you just got to kind of ease into the pool nice and slow. But once you get it and get your sea legs, you're off to the races.
Yeah, I guess the ability to just do a more informed face-to-face discovery call or setup call, that in itself helps. And as you feel comfortable, you can expand that into actually doing the quote digitally.
That's right. And it's tuned up to do that, right? It's automatically putting up a virtual background with your branding. So if you are sitting in a truck or you are in a call center or maybe you work from home, you know, you're still presenting yourself in the most professional way possible. And even the entire experience is tuned up that way. So when your customer gets on this, they, in the weirdest way, it's the reverse of a FaceTime call. So a customer sees themselves large and you small, because you're asking them to walk around their home or a commercial job site and show you. But on your end, you can be on your phone, tablet, computer. There's no apps. You don't have to worry about that. But you can see on your end everything large. if you need to take a picture of a serial number, if you need to record the entire video for the walk around to share with your sales team, it's all going to be tuned up for that type of experience.
It's the right combination of using technology to engage and build a relationship without losing the relationship. Because again, you, like I said, it's still a human on the other side. So yeah, until one day we create AI bots that look just like you that pick up. Anyway, we'll go there. But what you're saying is like, hey, we need to use tech to have speed to lead, but we can't overdo it. Everyone's just going straight to AI. It's like we can't just overbake it because it's also losing deals on that side as well. We need to have that hybrid approach, which is what you guys have built.
Just follow your money. Yeah. Your cash will tell you. Like, we follow the money. We find out what really works and what really puts money in the bank and the experience that happens, right? That's why I asked the question, is your AI robot your number one salesperson? And no hands go up because it's not ready to do that. It's ready to answer simple questions like your hours, your address, little things like that, but not gain the trust for a 4 or 5 figure job from a homeowner to come and do work at your home. No.
What about this? So we're toying with AI right now. We're actually looking at SalesApe right now. I don't know if you've heard of them, but they've been following me, trolling me on Facebook. Where does AI fit in this process? Because it's more in the discovery part, or is it more being living on your website, just to answer simple questions? What is AI useful for at this point, do you think?
It fits a ton of nooks and crannies, okay? I am not anti-AI. In fact, I'm very pro-AI. You can have an agentic co-pilot, is what they call them, next to your salesperson, reminding them to ask questions, right? Prompting them, you know, like if they're a moving company, hey, reminder, ask if they need boxes and bubble wrap, right? That's an upsell opportunity. I'll remind them about the insurance or follow-up with that. So you can have that sit beside. And also, it can do real-time translations, if maybe English is a second language. We're doing things of like measurement tools. So when you're seeing something, instead of having to drive out, you can help with measurements, laser guidance pieces. You're having full post transcripts to surface action items and maybe share. There's so many places where AI can fit in every little bit and piece. It's how you master AI fitting in to that human connection process that overall will enhance it rather than kill it.
Yeah, it's like at this stage in the game, let it enable your people versus replace your people is maybe a good way
That's
to put
correct.
It.
Yeah. That's right. You're putting on their Iron Man super suit so they can be more of a Iron Man.
Cool. So that's kind of some of the sales side. Let's talk about the communication side. So now you're on the job. Where does this assist? How does this work? Where is this saving time, money, effort, stress, helping with the customer experience?
Yep. It's going to solve two things, right? So if you had recorded that live video of the initial interactions before winning, now you've won, your team can now review that to see what was agreed to. So if your sales team is selling world peace, you can say, hey guys, we don't offer world peace. I'm not even sure that's going to happen. So like, stop selling that, right? So it keeps the operations team connected to the sales team, keeping everybody honest. It also helps the operational team understand what they're driving into, right? They usually watch this on the way. So when they set foot on property and they start interacting with customers, they're like, yep, we already know we're doing this, 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 and this. A customer having to repeat themselves is not a happy customer. It lowers trust that there wasn't that connection from the sales team, the operational team. In addition, if you have project managers on your jobs, I know all restoration companies have these, or roofing companies, a lot of companies have project managers managing multiple projects. Now they can be watching multiple projects from a central point, right? They can connect with that team lead at each site. And if there's a problem, hey, we just hit a pipe, or hey, this is a problem, or hey, we need to communicate to this customer why this is going to affect the timeline or budget. Now that person, again, can come in via video and we'll see what's going on, record it, and share it with the customer. It can be also when the people set foot on site, now your operational team can do a pre-walk around of a video. Okay. That way they don't get blamed for things they didn't do. Like if they're a plumber and they're fixing the toilet and the customer says, oh, your plumber put a bunch of marks on my drywall. No, actually we did a pre-walk around. Those marks were already there. I hate to see that, but that wasn't my guy that did that. Right. So it's going to start with that. Before and afters videos, customer testimonial videos, documentation of unique situations that you might need to see later. But now you're adding your NFL instant replay to your entire business.
I hate to bring up another company, but like, this reminds me of like Company Cam, but with video. Is that a fair assessment, or tell me where it's similar or different? Because I think about how they basically help you process through a job and keep documentation accurate, and you have a place to always go back to a repository. And you could just use your phone, right? You could literally just take pictures and videos on your phone and like have them set on your phone, and your team passes them to you and you save them in a Google Drive folder somewhere. But this is just tying it all together, I assume, and it's video forward.
It's video forward, but the piece unique part is it's live video. You don't see this in any of the other platforms. In fact, we have things like ServiceTitan and Jira bolting our stuff under the hood because what we have, we're one of only four companies in the world that do live video. In fact, some of our largest customers are name brand huge companies that were like, we did the Super Bowl this year and last year. We're in MLB ballparks. If you scan a QR code and put you on the Jumbotron, this live video is incredibly hard to the fact that this is what nobody else has, which we're bringing to the space is live video. Of course, there's recorded video and photos. We need those. But now that live video piece is when you're in at, you know, saving that trip in the truck, getting eyes on the project quickly in a live fashion is even more powerful when you can do it live as well as recorded.
Now, you had mentioned it briefly. I want to go back to this. So on the job, it helps with documentation, showing progress, making sure you've documented everything along the way. Jobs now closing, you had just mentioned it, but like this helps with, we're getting reviews, I guess, as well. I mean, I can just imagine you're there getting, how do you even ask your customer for this? How does this not be an awkward thing? Like, how do you use this for reviews?
Yep. Okay. So for customer reviews specifically, the data will tell you need to ask a customer 7 times to get any kind of testimonial. And most people stop at 1. And there are other platforms out there that help do the reminders of this. But when they say yes, what do you want, right? If you want a written one, sure, that is powerful. But now you can have the power of saying, hey, tap this link and take a video of yourself and the work we did. Like, here's our kitchen. Look how I'm in love with this kitchen. You know, that's just so much more powerful when nothing will ever store on their phone. Okay, that's the other thing. With no apps, anything stored on phones, whether it's your staff or your customer, is a liability. So if they take that beautiful customer review, and now you're asking to like text it, put it in a Dropbox. We hate that, right? Here, none of that. They just take the video, hit record, and then it automatically goes to the cloud and everything's encrypted and it's super safe. And so you're, again, back to the customer experience. Are we making it so easy that it's one tap, record the video up in the cloud, and then you can put it on your Google business or on your website?
So you're just streamlining the whole process. And they don't have to basically like record a video. You could just get a written review, but for those willing and able, you're able to get a video, live video of them. And you don't even have to be there, I guess, because you just send them a text that has this link to it.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. One of our customers is actually part of the Breakthrough Network here. And he, you guys, I think interviewed
Corey Byron. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he was just on the podcast.
He was talking LinkedIn. About you
guys. This is why we were on.
Oh, how about that? So on his LinkedIn, he actually has a recorded video of him and his customer talking. And you can see the whole live walkthrough of him bidding electrical work with a customer using our platform. So you can see that level of interaction, that it's purpose built. And, you know, he's been using it now for, you know, a year and a half. And, you know, he's not unique. I mean, we have this all over, and others in the network as well already using this stuff.
Yeah, we went through his customer journey, and you were one of the main things he mentioned. And I think that's partially what influenced us even having this conversation. So I wanted to go deeper and understand it, because it was something that he raved about, obviously. And it's a bit, like you said, it's a bit unique. This isn't just Zoom. This isn't just, you know, video recordings that are being sent. It's live, and it's built in a way that, like you said, has no platform. So people can just go through a link right into an online portal.
You're following the entire customer journey, leveraging the power of live and recorded video. That's correct.
So this was, out of everything that I read about you guys, this was the cool thing. I thought it was a really neat win that's super unique. It's this claim the property with QR codes. Can you explain this process a little bit to us?
Yeah, claiming property, right? So, and this is perfect for where we are in this journey. At the very end, well, you can also do this at the beginning, but let's talk about the end first. You can now produce a QR code that you can put your branding on, your phone number, and then you can put it on a weatherproof sticker and claim your area of the house or the commercial property, right? Our electricians are putting it on the breaker box. Our plumbers are putting this on the water heater and under the tank hood of the toilet. Our HVAC folks are on the HVAC gutter, on the gutter guard, on the painters, on the decks. And that way, when somebody, a current tenant, or a future resident can go and maybe they're having a water heater issue, they walk to it and like, oh, I guess this is my plumber, right? We're trying to actually box out Google. That whole thing of when people say plumbers near me, it's great if you have a lot of 5 stars. It's not so great maybe if you're a newer company, you haven't put a lot of work into getting those 5-star reviews. Now, if you've claimed that property, they can not only call you and see your brand, they can scan a QR code and take a video of the issue. So that way, when you're seeing it, they're feeling like this is I'm calling my warranty or my service agent. It's a different kind of mentality of like, oh, these are my plumbers. They know my property, right? So they're doing it there. They're also putting this QR code on marketing material. As an example, you'll put it on a market mailer, mail it to the house. If you ever experience any electrical issues in the future, please scan this QR code and take a video of the problem. And, you know, we can see it and we'll call you right back and give you the bid.
Is there, so what you're talking about is service and then reoccurring jobs, I would imagine. So any kind of service on a part or project that you've done an install on, and then any kind of reoccurring, I would imagine, like gutter cleaning or window washing, or is this the primary use of these QR codes, or is there any other like ones that you would recommend?
No, this is the primary use is claiming it for recurring revenue. Yeah. Recurring revenue is the most powerful part of your business. I know when I ran my painting and power washing companies, if I could get out there and power wash your house annually, then I could already mark that in my books. And that was, you know, what I would call a crystal ball customer because I knew money that was coming. And this is a mentality I think a lot of our contractors need to get at. You're starting to see it bubble up with these kind of warranty programs people are putting together, these platinum packages, right? But if you marry that, like when you sell one of those warranty packages, now you're saying with the warranty package, you're also getting this QR code that you can put on and you can get to us anytime. So they're getting something tangible and physical on property that marries why they're going to be paying a couple hundred dollars annually for you to be there. You've heard of these programs many times.
I know, of course. You were just mentioning use it in marketing as well. Give us more optics on that.
Yep. So with the marketing mailers that you send out, you want to put a QR code. Like I deal a lot with restoration. We have a lot of serve pros that are customers of ours. They'll send out, hey, in case of any future loss, scan this QR code. And they'll even make it to where a customer can put the sticker on somewhere on their property. So that is front loading it. They're trying to claim properties they haven't even been there yet.
Exactly.
Got it.
Exactly.
Okay. This makes a lot of sense. So there's a whole bunch of just use cases for this entire walkthrough. But I guess at the end of the day, the problem you're solving is you're streamlining the customer journey. You're looking at all the sticking points where there has to be a call followed by a drive out, followed by an estimate, followed by a comeback with a quote and a number. It's like this whole thing is being able to just happen in minutes versus days.
That is right. That speed is important. Seeing what they see. As an example, on the follow-up process, we have a guy who lays sod, lawns, and it's normative after you've laid a lawn that a few areas are going to turn gray or brown, which alarms the customer, right? They're like, oh my gosh, my new grass I just paid thousands for is brown. Well, it's a normative call for them to call and say, hey, my grass is turning brown. Well, let me send you a text, show me. And now when that professional can see the brown grass and they say, that's normative, keep letting it work in and call me in a week if it's still brown and then we'll come out. Saving that callback is huge. Whether you put up lighting, right? Oh, my automatic timer, put a QR code right there, right? Put your phone number. Okay. You're trying, a lot of us as home service, we want to give best follow-up as well. We want happy customers. We want people giving referrals, but we also, if it's a situation, I don't need to drive out. That's where this stuff just keeps coming over and over again. And even overnight bidding. Right, we've got guys that'll have prospects and customers that want, let's say they need to be moved. They need to move their house, okay? But this is someone who works in an office downtown. They're not going to be home until usually in the evenings at 7 o'clock. That's when your bidders really want to be at home having dinner with their family. Now you can send them an SMS text and say, hey, when you get a chance, when you get home, just tap the text and take a video. We'll watch it the next day and give you a call. And I've had so many customers like, oh, it's been a lifesaver. You know, I was able to capture and win business even when my team couldn't bid. So there's other ways to kind of get in that 24/7 coverage.
What percentage of buyers are loving this, demanding this, raving about this versus percentage that are like, I hate this. I would never use this. Because there's got to be, I'd imagine if you're like 82 years old and you use your iPhone for the most basic things, do you love this? Like, where are you seeing a lot of like the customer journey being, or the customer itself being like, we love it? Where are you seeing people being like, this is not for us? Is there any profiling of customers this is important for?
Oh, 100%. But you can't, a lot of people like to profile it by age.
Sure.
But I have a guy who hangs TVs and he's like, James, I got a 90-year-old on this. You know, maybe 5-10 years ago, the whole smartphone thing would have hit that age demographic. But now some of the folks in that age bracket are just as good as some of the kiddos on it. They fell in love with their smartphones. So I wouldn't really put those folks in that demographic of don't like it. The people that don't like it are the people that like a sales process where they want to sit down at the dinner table, shake your hand and like put a face, a name and do that. But also the ones that want to get 3 or 4 bids and price compare you.
Okay.
They want you to come out. And a lot of times our home service guys are like, those are some of the most annoying customers because now I don't want a price bid. I don't want to go up against, like, if you're going to do that to me, just forget it. But there is a demographic that doesn't like this type of thing. And on the other side, you got demographic where people will go through this. They've said, and Corey even told me this. He's like, James, I've had customers like, why doesn't everybody do this? Totally. And that's what we're seeing in certain industries that are farther along. You're actually looked at as a home service person, as you're the caveman of the industry. That's still like, you still do all of your bids all, like you do no virtual bidding. They kind of look at you like you're a little crazy in certain verticals that this is farther down the road on.
Yeah, and like you said earlier, you just identify this in the setup call. You can identify their preference and you can still integrate this without feeling like you're alienating a certain percentage of your customers. You can still just say, is this something you would like to do? If so, we can get it done right now. Some might say, no, I want to get some in-person quotes. Can you come on out? Great. You just make that a part of the process as well. You don't have to like choose one or the other.
That's right. That's a well-worn path. You're just trying to see how many people are open to it. And then, you know, there's your efficiency.
Is there any other like just good tech outside of what you guys do that you just recommend for this whole process or the sales process, customer journey that you're like, this lines up so well to what we believe in and how we're doing things?
Yep. So across the spectrum, you know, I've done trainings for home service owners around like what we call the tech stack. You know, what is a tech stack, right? You want a good CRM. Right. I think Jobber is doing a great job. I mean, that's the one Corey keeps telling me about, James, Jobber. Like, we like Jobber, but we're pretty agnostic, right? Like, there's people that say just as much how much they love ServiceTitan, right? But we will say, find your CRM of choice, find the one that works for you. To not have a CRM is a little bit crazy, right? So make sure you have that. Now, a lot of your team is going to be, this is the one that gives them the most stomach sickness because it's the most hard to learn. Right? Like, oh, the change management when installing a new CRM. So find one. And then where we see challenges are when people want to overcook it. They want to make it so unique to them because they're so unique and their business is not like anybody else. Come on, get over it. You aren't a unique butterfly, right? Find the one that you can leverage what they're doing. Put that in place. Of course, I would put in a autoresponder, like a Nice Job is a good one for, it takes 7 times to remind someone to get those reviews. But those reviews are critical to your overall setting the baseline for your Google store, right? How do you get 720 to 5-star reviews? You ask 7 times.
I know. I've had Corey do work for me actually specifically, and I still get reminded. I'm like, I gave you a review. I still get reminders every time they come by, and then there's like a whatever, like a 1 day, a 7 day, a 12 day, and a 32 day, and they keep coming.
Absolutely. I would say something like a Go High Level for marketing, right? As you put that in, that I hear great things about them and many others. There's all kinds of different bits and pieces of things that I think are worthwhile. You know, as for us, our lane, we're going to stay in the video and we're going to be the easiest to learn software. We train people in 5 minutes. Like, that's the other thing about us is when people are like, oh no, another software. I'm like, I have guys that have saw this in the morning, purchased it, trained it, and use it the same day, right on a follow-up. So our time to value is something we take. And because I remember having Nextel walkie-talkies, CB radios, if I'm dating myself. And we love one, like us home service guys sometimes get a bad rap. They say, oh, you guys are the knuckle draggers of technology. I'm like, no, we just like stuff that's easy. So if you can make it one button and go, we're going to love you. But if you make it complicated, we're going to roll our eyes and we don't have time for you because you don't know us. You know, like you're an engineer. You have soft hands. You haven't spent a day on a ladder like we have. Like, you got to understand, I got to have stuff that's easy to use and boom, right away.
What I do here, and part of the issue, even to what you spoke to, is there is so many solutions that all do just a part of the process. And this will change, I think, over time. But a lot of our members that complain that there is just so many apps. They're just like, I have like 4 or 5 apps and I'm trying to get my team to use it. It's not about one being simple and one not being simple. It's that there's too many of them and I'm trying to get them all to be one thing, which can be challenging. Maybe one more question on this. Do you guys have an open API with some of these systems you just mentioned? And if you do, like, how well do they work? Like, what do they do? What do they not do?
Yeah, we have an open API right now. We're under the hood of Jobber, under the hood of ServiceTitan. It allows those recorded video links to be put in the customer file, allow you to launch that live call right from that place. To your point, you know, the solution to what you're wanting, because there is no one ring to rule them all. And I don't ever believe there will be. In fact, I think the way to get the one ring to rule them all is to have these open APIs that you're talking about. That's how you do it. Would you rather go to a mediocre buffet and just have every kind of food out there? Sure, it's got every kind of food, but I'd actually rather go to a place where I can put the best of breed on my plate. Let me put the best, you know, slice of pizza, the best macaroni and cheese, the best salad. That's what an open API can do. You can get your favorite pieces from all of them and bring them in centrally. And so that's another thing to look for.
One thing I think is coming, I've been watching, James, just AI's ability to build code. In the last like month or two, it's starting to really ramp up. And I'm just curious to see how that evolves into the ability for an average small business to build their own environment real quick through code that allows all these things to work together in a more seamless manner. I don't think we're quite there, although we could be. If you have a good technologist on your team, you probably could do it now. But I think we're probably a year or two away for being able to have all this work together in a much more seamless way and have AI help build some of the code required for it. So,
yeah, I think a CRM company will figure that out.
I think so. Well, I think they're on it.
That's how they need to evolve. CRM companies need to evolve to what you just said. And the ones that don't are going to get destroyed.
Oh, we're already seeing it. I already see it with some of the people in the marketplace. Like there's those who play well with everyone and there's those who have closed doors. And the ones that play well with everyone are the ones I'm watching expand. So cool. Good. Well, anything else? Any other thoughts or advice or just one, if you had one thought for the people listening today of all the things we just talked through, like the whole customer journey we just went through. Where do we start? What are your thoughts for getting moving on something when it comes to streamlining our customer experience?
Take action. You're already listening to a podcast or you're watching us and you're learning. And that's the thing that sometimes like Corey and I talk about that frustrate. You teach someone till they're blue in the face and they won't take action on it, right? They won't try that new thing. They won't take a step in that direction. They'll nod their head like, that's a good idea. I should probably do that. But they don't do it. It's like a diet. You know, you're like, no, you actually have to do the exercise, right? So I want to challenge everyone listening. Keep listening to Wonderful Educate. You're already two or three steps down the chessboard because you're listening to this, but now you need to turn that into action. And you can validate that these are good actions to take by talking to other folks that are killing it in their business, right? So talk to the other people that you respect, like what they're doing. Take the meat, leave the bones, but put it into action or else what you're listening to was just a great ride over if you're listening to us on the drive over to a bid right now.
I think about this too. There's so much tech. You guys are one of them, but I'm just like, in light of improving the customer journey for everyone listening, it's just like, think of the one thing that's like causing you pain, causing your customer pain, causing the numbers and the metrics and the company pain. What is that one thing? Because there's probably lots of them, but what's the main one right now? And pick that. Is it generating the lead? Is it converting the lead? Is it showing up on the site? Is it getting the numbers estimated quickly and accurately? Is it being able to go from sales to production? Do that handoff process properly? Is it during production, the actual communication and like management of the project, wherever the biggest pain is, that's probably the one area to start with and let that thing start to guide you. Because yeah, I agree. There's even listening to me, I'm one podcast of so many. Someone's going to shut us off and listen to another one tomorrow. And it's just like so many different things you could do. You don't have to do what James has to offer. I just think it's just like pick the one thing that causes you the most pain and make that your first step. So cool. James, if people want to connect with you, reach out to you. How do they find you?
Two ways. One, go to LinkedIn, look for James Hatfield, reach out to me. Anyone listening to a podcast and reach out, I personally take care of them. I don't farm you off to anybody. You can get me directly. I've ran home service businesses for many years, so happy to have that conversation. Second, you can just go to our website, LiveSwitch, LiveSwitch.com. Click on demo and ask for James. Again, you'll bypass anybody
else. Are they
going to
get a live video feed of you?
Yes. They will get me live though. I mean, I will reach out and we will have a live video call together. I eat at my own restaurant, but yes, 100%, you know, I'll be happy to take care of you directly.
Awesome. Thanks, James. Have a good week.
Thank you. You too.
See ya. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Contractor Evolution. If you've already subscribed to our podcast, consider sharing this episode with another contractor that you think needs to hear it. Hey, Danny here. Build Show Live is going to be in Dallas October 16th to 18th and is hands down the best trade show for builders, remodelers, and contractors. Me and my team are going to be there live and I'd love to meet you. So you can join us with 25% off your tickets using code BTA25. Don't miss it.